Our next speaker is Liz Eilers. Liz has two superpowers, neither of which she can disclose to the general public. She is a self-professed small-town girl, lover of cold climates, and corgis. Her claim to fame is that Sandra Day O'Connor has eaten her flourless chocolate torte. She didn't bring any to share with us. She is the most dangerous thing on the streets at any given moment and an artist with buttercream frosting. Liz considers herself a dangerous combination of confidence, imagination, and impulse. And she's a mudroom's virgin, so give her a round of applause.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today. Just kidding. I've always wanted to do that. Thanks. So, in the summer of 2002, I survived the Big Fish Blaze forest fire in Colorado. I was a teenager who was desperate to get out of her hometown and have an adventure. I accepted a job offer through the Caretakers Gazette to work at the Trapper's Lake Lodge, which is located in the Flat Tops Wilderness, also known as the Birthplace of the Wilderness Act. My parents and I drove out there, being that it was the furthest I would ever be from home and the longest I would ever be away from home. They were gonna help me get settled in. So we drive 20 hours out to Trapper's Lake Lodge, which is basically a lodge at the end of a dirt road, which butts up against 235,000 acres of wilderness with a capital W, which means there's no motorized use, there's no cell phones, there's no internet reception, there's nothing. And as we're driving out here, I'm of course envisioning what my summer is gonna be like, and I'm thinking I'll be working with people like myself, college-age kids on break from school, peers, people that have their teeth, and the little things. Turns out when you have a very remote lodge in the middle of the mountains of Colorado that butts up against 235,000 acres of wilderness, you get what you get, and you hope they're not a serial killer, or at least a serial killer yet, like still at cat status maybe. And needless to say, my parents were a little perturbed, a little nervous, because it was essentially like meth heads and Vietnam War vets and bull riding, retired bull riding champ. It was middle-aged men. Creepy. And they tried to convince me, obviously, to abort the mission, come on back to Illinois, and we'll figure out a plan B. And I was much more fearful of that because it doesn't pencil out. How was I going to go back to Macomb and say to all these friends that I'd raved about this job, I was scared of my coworkers. Lame. So I was like, nope, mom and dad, I'm going to do this. I'm going to stick it out. I'm going to figure it out. I'm here. This is where I want to be because the area is gorgeous. I mean, it's unbelievable. The entire reason why it's known as the birthplace of the Wilderness Act is because in 1919, Arthur Carhart was slated to survey Trapper's Lake for a private lakeside community. Once he had surveyed the land, he went back to his bosses and pitched an unprecedented notion, laying the foundation for the Wilderness Act as we know it, and basically deemed Trapper's Lake an irreplaceable resource. It's a 300-acre lake formed from a caldera of a volcano. It's surrounded by volcanic cliffs. First and foremost, the amphitheater. It's home to the largest native elk herd in Colorado, and it's the largest breeding ground for cutthroat Colorado trout. It's unbelievable. So the next 6 weeks consisted of me simultaneously falling in love with the area and Colorado and having legitimate anxiety and fear of my coworkers. Yeah. So, because I was the only female within a 5-mile radius, they throw me behind the bar, makes sense, at 19. I put the red wine in the fridge because what's it doing out? It needs to be refrigerated. I didn't know. And the ranch down the road, known as the Rio Blanco Ranch, in terms of nightlife, they had two choices. They could either go 60 miles down the road to the Sleepy Cat Ranch, or they could come 5 miles up the road to Trapper's Lake Lodge and Bar. So, you know, it's easier to convince a DD to go 5 miles than 60. So I got to meet the staff at the Rio Blanco Ranch, and they promptly wanted to know what I was doing there at Trapper's Lake Lodge, as the reputation had preceded itself. And I let them know that I had accepted a job there, I was from out of town, etc. And the staff and Rio Blanco Ranch consequently rescued me and offered me a position in the kitchen. I accepted because I was like, yes, this is it. This is how I'm going to get out of Trapper's. Like, these people have their teeth and they're what I envision. They're right. They're 19-year-olds like myself. They're college students. They have parents that love them, etc. So I accepted the job. Didn't ask anything about what Rio Blanco Ranch was about whatsoever. I was like, I can make some muffins and take people's plates. It'll be great. Got down there, and lo and behold, it's Warren Buffett's private fly fishing ranch. So I got to meet the likes of Sandra Day O'Connor and Tom Brokaw and the original investors of Shell Oil. The complete opposite of what Trapper's Lake Lodge was. Then 6 weeks go by, and I'm wondering how I landed in this place. It's 10 miles of private fly fishing ranch. It's the most gorgeous area. This is a place where billionaires spend a week of their summer. I got to spend the entire summer. And as I'm working there, wondering how I got so lucky, a forest fire is ignited by lightning in the wilderness area. And because it's the wilderness and you gotta let nature run its course, it burned, baby burned. Forest fires, when they get to a certain size, tend to create their own weather and can actually change the wind patterns. So that is exactly what happened during the Big Fish Blaze. It doubled overnight, one fateful night in mid-August, and woke up on the morning of my 20th birthday to us evacuating our billionaire guests and recruiting 100 firefighters from the Lions in Denver, and then also being evacuated to the arena, which didn't feel so safe. The arena was actually just kind of like a stable, I guess is how you could describe it. Needless to say, it wasn't like we were spectators of something off in the distance. The fire was right there. And Trapper's Lake Lodge did burn down to the ground. Can't say wasn't kind of satisfying watching that, as it had been such a creepy, so it was like watching the Stanley Hotel burn probably from The Shining. It was creepy. Yeah. So we hosted some firefighters for the next few weeks. They were able to save Warren's ranch as the fire circumnavigated around us. The best way I could describe it is, the next time you're out on Couch Beach or North D and you're creating a bonfire, picture yourself living in the middle of it. And that's what it's like. We were able to take our horses, save the horses. They got down to their wintering grounds closer to town. All in all, I believe 17,000 acres burned. And now, today, that part of Colorado is thriving. It's one of the healthiest ecosystems in the state because it's not vulnerable to the beetle kill that's going on. And because of that experience, I have a very unique perspective on what it means to burn down to the ground and then rise from the ashes and thrive.